the committee that tampering with the current system could hurt participating schools. Winter conditions are creating problems from Kansas City to Dallas, Texas. Winter weather advisories are in place along the I-35 and I-44 corridors. Icy roads are causing difficult travel conditions all around the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Dennis Martin reporting, USA Radio Network News.
Dear Mama, my first 5 years, I'll learn a lot.
How to walk, talk,
brush my teeth.
But for food, I'm pretty much counting on you.
I don't know what's good for me.
I change the stove, drive to the store. It's up to you.
So if you need help, there's WIC.
WIC, Women, Infants, Children.
They'll tell you what's good for me, even provide food. Because what I eat my first 5 years will affect me the rest of my life.
Love always,
your child.
Get proper nutrition before it's too late. Call or visit WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food for women, infants, children. To find out more about WIC, our nearest location, or if you qualify for our benefits, call 1-866-WIC-INFO.
P.S. It doesn't cost anything.
Your child has you, and you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ag Council.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America, and welcome to the Inside Scoop. The Bush administration has been accused of politicizing science. Whether it is the teaching of evolution in public schools or whether steps should be taken to prevent global warming, the charge has been made that the Bush administration disregards scientific evidence and instead does what its supporters want it to do. Nowhere, perhaps, has this charge been made more than in the case of Plan B, an emergency contraception pill that is like a megadose of the hormone that's used in birth control pills. This pill, it's been shown, or at least the FDA has said, that it is safe and effective in preventing unintended pregnancy, reducing the risk by as much as 89% of pregnancy, and up to 95% if taken in the first 24 hours. There were two votes at the FDA. The first one was a vote of 28-0 that it was safe, and then another vote of 23-4 that the pill should be allowed over-the-counter without a prescription. The pill has been available with a prescription since 1999. Of course, it is difficult to get a prescription from a doctor in the time necessary after unprotected intercourse in order to have its effects. The person most known for the charge that the Bush administration is politicizing this science is Dr. Susan Wood. She's the former FDA commissioner for women's health and the former director of the Office of Women's Health. She resigned due to this charge that the FDA, in refusing to allow the pill Plan B to be approved, was indeed politicizing science. And then later on in the hour, we have another very important guest, Nurse Jill Stanek. I myself, in fact, saw Jill Stanek testify when I used to work in Congress. She's a very strong pro-life advocate, and she's going to state her views why she thinks the FDA was absolutely right in not approving Plan B without a prescription. But first, Dr. Wood, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Let me just ask, first of all, did I get my facts right? I always want to get my facts right. Have I done good so far?
Pretty well, actually, and I think it's I've been very careful to say I don't know what led to the decision to essentially indefinitely delay the approval of Plan B over the counter. What I do know is that the decision wasn't based on either the science or the medical evidence which had been presented and evaluated by the FDA staff. and nor did it follow sort of the usual processes that we depend on to ensure that FDA and other health agencies are making all their decisions based on good evidence.
Well, Dr. Wood, give us the details. Tell us what happened in the FDA, in the process that you were involved in. The FDA found it was safe, is that right?
Absolutely. This is a very safe product. Even those who are opposed to it being brought over the counter, some very outspoken people who are against it, including Dr. David Hager, agree that it's absolutely safe and appropriate in terms of safety over the counter. It's also, as you mentioned, very effective, and the important thing is that it needs to be taken early to be effective. It works just like other birth control pills. So if you're comfortable with regular birth control pills or with the IUD as a method of contraception, it uses exactly the same mechanisms of action that to prevent a pregnancy that regular birth control pills use and that IUDs use.
Well, Dr. Wood, the regular way, if you will, that birth control is used is it prevents a woman from ovulating. Is that correct?
That's the primary way it works for both regular birth control pills and for emergency contraception.
But there's been an argument. Go ahead.
Let me make sure we're clear, though.
Yeah.
That there are other possible mechanisms, including possibly, although it's still possible, interfering with fertilization itself between an egg and a sperm if ovulation has already occurred, and possibly, although again the evidence is very weak, that it might interfere with the implanting of a fertilized egg into the uterus. And that's important to recognize that regular birth control pills also have that range of mechanisms of working, and the IUD does, in fact, prevent implantation of a fertilized egg.
Because
so
that's obviously the most controversial.
If you're comfortable with these methods, you're perfectly comfortable with emergency contraception.
I mean, the most controversial, of course, is the preventing the implantation. That's the part
right.
that pro-life advocates are most concerned about. Do we know what percentage of time that happens rather than preventing ovulation or some of the other ways?
Again, that's a very unlikely mechanism of action, so it would be probably very rare, but there are no exact numbers, but it's possible, so we can't rule it out. But again, I would point out that the IUD works that way, and if you're breastfeeding a baby, not a recommended form of birth control, but if you are breastfeeding a baby, it does reduce your risk of getting pregnant, and it's because of the same hormone, progesterone, that your body is producing that prevents you from getting pregnant if you're not using other contraception while breastfeeding, that this pill is. It's the exact same hormone and the exact same way of working. So,
Dr. Wood, we have to take a break here. When we come back, I want to address some more of the safety issues. And then we're going to get to some calls. Folks, if you want to call in, you can talk to either Dr. Wood or Nurse Stanek by calling in 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
When you're weary. In times of trouble, in times of crisis, the American Red Cross is there, providing shelter, a warm meal, a helping hand. Victims of disasters need your help now. Your support for the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund makes help possible. Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org today.
I will lay me down.
How would you like to work less, spend more time with your family, and make more money than you have ever dreamed of? Now you can. Cindy is a mother of three beautiful children and used to clean houses for a living to make ends meet. She found out about EasyBiz23.com. Her first month full-time, she earned $2,500. Her income increased about $1,000 per month, and now she earns $16,000 a month. Tori says before she started her own business, she worked 10 hours a day in a high-pressure job. She wore out her car commuting back and forth to work. Now she makes over $100,000 a a year in her pajamas. Go online to find out more at easybiz23.com. Order a free, no-obligation work-from-home training package. Shipping not included. That's www.easybiz23.com. Tracy, a restaurant manager who came home to be a full-time mom, made $1,000 her first month and was earning $5,000 a month just 6 months in the business. Get free information now. Log on to easybiz23.com. That's easy, B-I-Z, the number 23.com.
Ew, it stinks in here.
Passing gas in the company of others is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing Plan B and the failure of the Food and Drug Administration to allow it to be sold without a prescription. My guest at the moment is Dr. Susan Wood. She's the former Food and Drug Administration Commissioner for Women's Health and Director of the Office of Women's Health, who resigned over the charge that the FDA did not approve Plan B for non-scientific reasons. Dr. Wood, welcome back to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you.
Let me go through the process, if I can, before we go to our other guest, of how the FDA approves a drug and specifically what the FDA did in the case of Plan B to argue originally, I guess, that it was safe.
Well, there's a couple of places where the FDA seemed to do something rather unusual. It's gone through two rounds of trying to be approved, and in both times it was taken off track. The key point to remember is that not only did the Expert Advisory Committee strongly support bringing Plan B over the counter, but also all of the multiple layers of experts within FDA, both the scientists, clinicians, who reviewed the data, 20,000 pages worth of data, looked at all the questions about teen behavior, contraceptive use, understanding the label, could they use it properly. They all agreed from the first level of review up to very high levels within the agencies, agreed together in a very strong consensus that this is absolutely appropriate for over-the-counter. And again, since it's contraception, one would think it wouldn't be controversial. So at the first application was turned down in May of 2004, and that was recently documented by the Government Accountability Project as unusual in many ways, in which it overturned the professional staff's strong recommendation on in a very unusual way of the process.
Dr. Wood, let me walk you through just the votes here and tell me if I got it right. December 16th, 2003, a joint panel of the Food and Drug of the FDA's Reproductive Health Drugs Advisory Committee and Non-Prescription Drugs Advisory Committee voted 28-0 that Plan B could be used safely. That's right.
Correct.
And then the same day that the panel voted 23-4 that it be provided over the counter.
That's right.
And then
that's the first step towards approval.
Okay. And then in 2004 they turned it down, saying we're not sure about women who are 16 years or younger.
That's correct. And again, this was the advisory committee is very important, but FDA can overturn it and has done in the past. What was actually more important is that before we got to May of 2004, everyone inside the FDA except the head of the Center for Drugs thought it should be approved, agreed with the advisory committee 100%. And then the head of the Center for Drugs at that time said we're going to have to address this issue of very young teens. And the problem was is that there's actually very good evidence that young teens and older teens won't change their sexual behavior with access to Plan B. It won't change their regular use of contraception. What it does change is their whether or not they're more likely to actually use it when it's needed. And that evidence is quite clear now. And again, everyone inside FDA except at that time the center director thought that it should be approved for women of all ages.
Dr. Will, one last question, then I have to get to my other guest. But as I understand it, when it was refused for girls under a certain age, 15 or younger, Bar Laboratories resubmitted it for adults only, and even that was refused? Is that right?
Yes, it was submitted not for adults, but for 16 or 17 okay. years old and older.
Okay.
And it was that was when I resigned, was because a year and a half later, FDA finally announced a decision, a very delayed announcement, that it was, although everyone now agreed that it should be approved for those 17 and older, we were going to go through a government regulatory process, which essentially is denial by delay, by saying, we're not going to be able to approve this because what you proposed is too complex for us to do, and so we're not going to decide until we figure out how to do this, which is entirely unnecessary for them to do. But
okay.
in any case, it's using that excuse of rulemaking to essentially put the decision on the shelf for years to come.
Got
and
you.
That
now,
led to my resignation.
I did promise equal time to my other guests, and I want to give her a chance to speak. We're going to go to a commercial break, but when we come back, I'll be back with Nurse Jill Stanek, who is a pro-life advocate who feels very strongly that Plan B should not be approved over the counter. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
Do you sell dietary supplements?
If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series. 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
All right, men. You know who's going to be out in front tonight. Our boss, the President of the United States.
Golden Age of Movies presents the Ronald Reagan Classic Film Collection with three great feature-length films. Ronald Reagan was beloved because he embodied the ideals that made America great. It's fascinating to see Reagan as a dashing young actor, knowing the man on the screen will go on to become president and one of the greatest world leaders. This classic collection is nearly 6 hours long and includes Reagan in Tennessee's Partner, Santa Fe Trail, with Errol Flynn, and This is the Army with George Murphy and Kate Smith.
If you order now, we'll include hilarious classic 50s TV with Ronald Reagan appearing with Milton Berle, Steve Allen, Gary Moore, and James Dean.
All three movies and the classic television, a $30 value for only $19.95.
Order online at ReaganMovies.com or call 1-800-834-0444. 1-800-834-0444. From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing Plan B, the emergency contraception pill the FDA has said will not be approved for over-the-counter use, at least not yet. My former guest was Dr. Susan Wood, FDA commissioner, who resigned over the issue. She will be back later on the hour. But right now I want to talk to Nurse Jill Stanek. I first saw Nurse Stanek when I worked for the House Judiciary Committee, and she was testifying on a bill that would punish hospitals that after failed abortions where you had a baby born alive would sometimes leave that baby to not enough care, let's say, to let them die. And she was testifying on that. She's been an active pro-life advocate for some time then. And recently she's been speaking out against Plan B. Nurse Stanek, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Well, let me ask you before I go to my questions, how would you address what Dr. Wood has said?
First of all, I want to mention that I testified before that advisory committee against making morning after pills available over the counter. want to point out that the FDA has rejected advisory committee recommendations in the past. Most recently, they did regarding silicone breast implants, and they only comprise one component of how the FDA makes its decisions. And the FDA advisory committee chairman at that time declared that the label comprehension study that Barr did was a failure. In his words, he said that because a full of one-third of the women did not understand that the morning after pill was not to be used as a regular form of birth control. And before that, the FDA found Plan B's promoters guilty of false advertising, and they wrote them a letter, which is very serious, for misstating the efficacy, for understating the medical risk to women. And it says that their ads, the FDA stated in quotes that the ads raised significant public health and safety concerns, and yet proponents still continue to make similar claims.
Nurse Stenick, do you disagree with the proponents who claim that it's 89% effective in preventing pregnancy and 95% effective, 95% effective if taken within 24 hours?
You have just hit on something that's very important, which is another misconception that Plan B promoters continue to thrust forth, and that is when you say that it prohibits pregnancy. As a matter of fact, on the website, Plan B's promoters say that it inhibits implantation, but it doesn't say of what. And as a doctor indicated, one of the modes of how Plan B can work can be that it can stop an embryo, a 5 to 9 day old embryo, from implanting in the uterus. And nearly half of Americans think that fertilization, that life begins at fertilization. So, and they would not use Plan B if they knew that this is what it did. And so withholding such information as Plan B does violates, I think, a very important principle.
Well, Nurse Tedek, let me ask you this. First of all, you don't dispute the efficacy of 89% and 95%. Your complaint is with, as a pro-life advocate, that you have a fertilized egg, which is an embryo which you consider to be a life, which is not allowed to implant, but you don't dispute the numbers, or do you?
No, I mean, I think the numbers are very low, though. I mean, that means 11% of
right.
women who take this will become pregnant, which means that if the primary mode is to prevent ovulation, then 11% of the time it does not prevent ovulation, and then so then it would go on to potentially stopping an embryo from implanting.
Well, let me ask you this, just to understand your argument. As I understand it, you don't have a problem with the fact that Plan B often prevents ovulation and acts as a contraception. Your sole problem with Plan B is in those cases, which Dr. Wood said were rare, where it prevents implantation in the uterus, or am I wrong?
No, I think Plan B can offers a very serious not only health risk but public health risk, in that hardly any studies, no long-term studies have been done on the effects of Plan B. And I went to its website, and it said that it admitted that no long-term studies have been conducted on just taking one morning after pill, never mind more, the effects of women not screened for medical contraindications. And don't forget, the lower-dosed birth control pills is only available by prescription. And Plan B and all other morning after pills comprise 10 to 15% higher doses, mega dosages of either progesterone and or estrogen. It said that there have been no studies done on the effects on adolescents, the effects on older women, the effects on race, the effects on its interaction with other drugs, and even how it is the effects of the morning after pill with food. It's there have never been any studies done on a higher dose yet. Where it has been legal in Britain over the counter, 1 in 7 women taking the morning after pill use it repeatedly in the same year. So there are lots of other problems with Plan B, also contraindications. And
let me ask you this, Nurse Stenick, if I can. It is
legal
in 33 countries, and it's been legal with a prescription since 1999. I'm sure you know the American Medical Association, the American Medical Women's Association, the American Academy of Pediatrics. In fact, I saw this on your website.
Right.
Have all approved Plan B, and, of course, the FDA voted, the advisory panel voted 28-0 that it was safe, which would seem to be, well, contradictory to what you've just said. Why do you think they're all, you think they're politicizing science, or
yes,
you think they're just wrong?
I think their decisions were ideologically based. They are politicizing
all 28 of them? I mean, 28-0 is pretty strong.
You know, Mark, I can't speak for each one of them, but when you compare the facts of what has not been studied on the morning after pill, and also compare where it has been legal, how it has not had any impact on declining abortions. In fact, in some places, the number of abortions has increased. In the UK, chlamydia between 1999 and 2003 skyrocketed. Also in the UK, women said that their use of unprotected sex was influenced by the knowledge that they could get this pill from the pharmacy. And if Plan B is made available over the counter, it can be accessed by men, which offers a whole host of other problems. In Thailand, where the morning after pill has been available for 18 years, the Bangkok Post reported in 2002 that men are the most frequent buyers of the morning after pill, and they learned about it because it was advertised in men's magazines.
Nurse Dick, I want to ask you this.
Sure.
As a strong pro-life proponent, if
right.
a woman is determined not to get pregnant, and that's the music, so I'm going to have to ask you this when you come back on in the latter hour. But my question for you is, if a woman is determined not to get pregnant, it seems to me that if she doesn't take Plan B, she's likely to have an abortion, and to the extent Plan B isn't working by failure to implant, it's working by failure to ovulate, then you would actually prevent unwanted contraception without an abortion. But we'll address that after the break.
This is News Break. A man who allegedly claimed he had a bomb in his carry-on luggage and was threatening to blow up an American Airlines flight has been shot and killed at Miami International Airport. The deceased suspect has been identified as a 44-year-old American citizen. His wife reportedly told investigators her husband is bipolar and hadn't been taking his medication. Saddam Hussein's trial went on without him today. The former dictator refused to participate after calling the trial unfair yesterday. Britain's 80-year-old former Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher, has been hospitalized in London after complaining of feeling faint. Stocks closed lower. The Dow dropped 46 points to 10,810. The NASDAQ was off 9 at 2252, while the S&P 500 lost 6 points to 1257. And there's more news at usaradio.com.
This is an ICD Media report. The Internet can be a convenient resource for consumers looking for merchandise at competitive prices. But how do you really know that an advertisement is legit? And will you really get what you paid for? The National Internet Fraud Information Center reports nearly a third of all the complaints it received in the first 6 months of this year involved goods that were misrepresented or never delivered, with an average consumer loss of more than $4,000. To help consumers recognize the warning signs, AutoTrader.com has created an internal fraud task force and is providing extensive new information on its website about what activity is suspicious. Alan Smith, Vice President, Customer Service, AutoTrader.com.
Awareness is the best defense against fraud for the entire web community. That's why we're educating our consumers and arming them with information on our website.
Some tips include avoid overseas transactions because they're difficult to trace. Don't buy a car sight unseen and always verify payments. For more tips, visit AutoTrader.com.
I'm Joe Graydon, and this is our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
Dutch scientists have found that a B vitamin supplement may help older people stay mentally sharp. In the study, more than 800 people between 50 and 75 were given either folic acid or a placebo pill. After 3 years in the study, those taking the folic acid did as well on memory tests as people 5.5 years younger. They also performed better on tests of cognitive speed. The study participants took 800 micrograms of folic acid daily, which is twice the amount recommended by U.S. authorities. A diet rich in vegetables and fruits supplies folic acid, but to get 800 micrograms of the vitamin, a person would have to eat 2.5 pounds of strawberries. Perhaps researchers will be considering whether the recommended intake should be increased for older people. This is Terry Graydon with the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're debating the question of Plan B, the emergency contraception pill, that the Food and Drug Administration refuses to allow to be sold over the counter without a prescription, or even behind the counter, that is where a woman or girl would have to ask for the pill but still would not need a doctor's prescription. We've had both Dr. Susan Wood and Nurse Jill Stanek. We're going back now to Dr. Wood, who was a former FDA commissioner but resigned over Plan B. Dr. Wood, welcome back to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you.
Nurse Stanek raises some interesting questions about the safety of the drug. Despite the vote 28-0 that the drug is safe, she raises questions about repeated use, long-term use, and I thought her best point was that the birth control pill you need a prescription for, and if this is stronger than the birth control pill, it's a mega dose, so to speak, shouldn't women be concerned at least as much about the health problems of Plan B as they are about birth controls?
Well, that's a good question that people ask a lot, and there's actually a couple of reasons why it's different. One is, of course, that when you take emergency contraception, you take it sort of as a one-time use. You may take it, you know, once or twice a year, but you aren't taking it every day and every day, month after month, year after year, the way people do regular oral contraceptives. So because it's essentially a one day's use, and maybe again, and a not very frequent use, there are just not the same kind of concerns about having effects on your heart or risks, etc., that can be associated with some birth control pills. So I think that question, again, not just the advisory committee, but every level of review within FDA feels very confident about the safety, that this has raised essentially no safety concerns for the agency or in reports of its use as a prescription drug currently.
Well, let me ask you this.
The reason, of course,
very
important, is that unlike regular birth control pills, you need it right now. When you need it that evening, that morning. You don't need it 2 or 3 days later. If it's going to be effective, if it's going to prevent an unwanted pregnancy, you need it right now. And so getting that prescription and getting that prescription filled is a real barrier that really reduces the possibility of it working.
Dr. Wood, Nurse Stanek on her website points out that birth control pills are contraindicated for women over 35, that women over 35 normally shouldn't take birth control pills. I'm no doctor, so I want to ask you if that's true, and if that's true, whether perhaps there should be age limits at the top end for Plan B.
Again, no. For single-time use, irregular, infrequent use, it's on one day. It doesn't cause, again, the same risks that regular birth control pills might have. So it's just really because of the use is so different. And even though she mentioned there's not a lot of experience, there is actually this method. Even before we had a prescription product, doctors were telling women how to use their regular birth control packs, double up the dose, 4 times up the dose, depending on the different prescriptions. So people have been looking at and have had clinical experience with using emergency contraception by having high-dose hormonal pills in order to prevent a pregnancy from taking place.
Dr. Wood, what about the charge of repeated use, that there's some women who, for whom Plan B might be Plan A? They may not use birth control pill or condoms or other contraception. They might use it regularly, and that if birth control pills are dangerous, used every day for some women, that perhaps there should be a limit saying to women, please don't use this more than 3 times a year or 5 times a year or whatever the limit should be, that should be indicated.
Well, there certainly is. This product is only indicated in the United States for emergency backup contraception. It's not indicated, it wouldn't be indicated on the label to be used as a regular product. But there are also some real-world reasons why it wouldn't be used as a regular product, because it's going to be expensive. It's not going to be, it's going to cost probably as much as a full month's pack of birth control pills, so you wouldn't want to be purchasing that every day. And it's also not as effective. Another reason why it wouldn't be recommended to be used as a regular birth control pill, even though it's quite effective in the high 80s in terms of percentage preventing reducing the risk of pregnancy, it's not as effective as regular birth control pills or other regular forms of contraception, such as an IUD. It's not going to be indicated on the labeling. It's not going to be marketed in the United States as a regular form of contraception, but as a backup to give women a second chance if something happens, a condom breaks or some other failure of their contraception, such that they can prevent an unintended pregnancy and ultimately prevent the need for abortions.
The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Let's go to Brian in New Hampshire. Brian, welcome to the Inside School.
Hi, good evening, Mark, and good evening to your guest. I'd like to say I feel that I'm not that medically, I'm not that well versed in medical terms. I'm learning a lot from these two well-spoken ladies that I'm listening to. But I know that you've talked about this in our founding documents of our secular constitution, Mark. That in our founding patriots, I'll call them. I don't like to use the term founding fathers.
Okay. I need to get to the point, though, Brian. What's your question or point to make?
My point is that it's a creeping kind of theocracy, I believe, is coming into the, again, the yet another aspect of how a woman deals in her personal life with her own, very own body. And it's a creeping theocracy where it works out that maybe it's in line with the Islamic Republic in Iran and the burgeoning Shia Republic in Iraq now.
Brian, thank you for your comment. I will address it to both our guests. Dr. Wood, did you think this is theocracy? Let's say the religious right is behind this process. I mean, I know, for example, Republican lawmakers were complaining after the first FDA advisories said it was safe. Do you think that there's something other than science, in other words, going on here?
Well, clearly it's something other than science, and my concern is that, but again, I don't know what happened because I wasn't in the room and neither were any of the other scientists at FDA when the decisions were being made, but what concerns me is that for some reason contraception has become controversial, whereas it should be common ground. This should be something we all agree upon to prevent unintended pregnancies and prevent the need for abortions. So I honestly don't understand why this should be controversial at all. It works through the same mechanisms as other forms of birth control. This is what most people are quite comfortable with, and so why all of a sudden it's so controversial that FDA can be taken off track is very worrisome to me, because we do count on the credibility of FDA to be able to do its job based on science, based on evidence, based on public health.
Now, Nurse Stanek pointed out in her segment that silicone breast implants is something that the FDA said was safe, but the commissioners overruled. Is that a fair analogy there?
No. I mean, her point that FDA often overrules advisory committees is correct and has made the FDA, and usually that overruling happens because the scientists inside the agency disagree or have access to different data that the advisory committee was looking at. And so that's happened on a number of different things that I've talk about, but we don't have time. And that's, she's absolutely correct. But the difference here is that every level of scientific review within the agency, except for the very top leadership levels, all agree with the advisory committee. This was extraordinary in FDA history, not overruling advisory committees, but the fact that the scientific reviewers at all levels agreed strongly with each other and with the advisory committee, but at the very top, the decision was flipped.
Are you saying this is unprecedented, at least in recent times?
Certainly in recent times, and for those folks who've been at FDA for far longer than I was there, who've been there for decades, say they haven't seen anything like it. It has happened on one other occasion that I've heard regarding saccharin, but otherwise, as far as I know, this is really quite extraordinary.
Last question, and this is on the politics of the situation, to sort of address the caller. How much of this is the FDA commissioner himself, Lester Crawford? I know, for example, that Senator Hillary Clinton and Senator Patty Murray had put a hold on his nomination from acting commissioner to commissioner based on Plan B. He promised it would come out. They lifted the hold, and it still hasn't come out. Do you think he's behind this or someone even higher than him? Or maybe
well,
you don't know.
You know, I honestly don't know. He was the one who, on his own, because the rest of the agency was not involved in the decision, he announced the decision about putting the approval on hold for years. He was the one who did that in late August. Since then, he has resigned. We have a new commissioner in acting capacity. But unfortunately, he hasn't shown that the agency can be independent or can make its decisions based only on science and evidence any more than Dr. Crawford has been able to. So unfortunately, we're in a period now where the agency has gone silent on this, but every day it's silent, it's telling us that the agency isn't independent and can't make its decisions every time based on the best science and the best medical evidence.
Dr. Wood, I want to thank you very much for coming here on the Inside Scoop. The toll-free number is 877-528-8255, 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back with our second guest, Nurse Jill Stanek, right after this.
Johnny Reese is a major league pitcher who has always had a talent for striking people out. Teams fell over themselves trying to recruit the young man with a menacing fastball. But baseball isn't his only talent. You see, he's also a major league hitman, a contract killer who likes his work. Reese can do more than strike you out. He can eliminate you altogether. Jack Kane, a retired New York City detective, has a talent of his own, catching bad guys. When it comes to murder investigations, Jack Kane is a big leaguer, too. For action and suspense, Squeeze Play by Jim Harrington is a grand slam. You can buy a Squeeze Play at all your favorite online booksellers. But for Talkstar Radio listeners, there's a special deal. Buy Squeeze Play now at a special discounted price and receive a signed autographed copy from the author. Buy yours now at yourmorning.com. Buy yours for the holidays today, yourmorning.com.
Sleepless nights, agonizing days. Don't let the stress of heavy credit card debt ruin your life or the ability for you to get a good job. Take action. Call Debt Relief of America. They are professional, proven debt negotiators that work for you to get credit card companies to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt. Credit card companies make it hard for the average American to get out of debt. High interest rates and late fees keep you in a never-ending cycle of debt prison. Debt Relief of America helps you break free by wiping out up to 60% of your credit card debt using secret programs most credit card companies don't want you to know about.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call can literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the emergency contraception pill Plan B and why it is that pro-life advocates like Nurse Jill Stanek are so adamantly opposed to it. Nurse Stanek, welcome back to the Inside Scoop.
Before, thanks for having me. It's a great conversation.
Thank you. Before the break at the end of your last segment, I asked you a question about women who are determined to prevent their pregnancy. Let me throw out a hypothetical for you, because Plan B, the name Plan B is supposed to be when other contraception fails. So let's say you have a young woman, she has sex with her boyfriend, they try to use contraception, a condom, say it breaks, and then she wants to go get emergency contraception. If it's not available without a prescription and she can't get it in time, isn't she more likely to then go ahead and have an abortion?
First of all, I think it was unrealistic of Dr. Wood to purport that young women won't use the morning after pill irresponsibly, use it repeatedly. And in Britain, 1 in 7 women who used it repeatedly in the same year. And again, men are not going to be forbidden from buying this pill. And in Thailand, where it's been legal, they have found that they are slipping pills into drinks, giving them to girls and wives, girlfriends and wives, so that they don't have to use a condom, increasing the risk for sexually transmitted disease. And I also find it incredible to say that the scientific reviewers overwhelmingly approved Plan B, according to Dr. Wood, when I wonder what science was there to review. Because I listed at least 10 to 15 studies that I got off of Plan B's website that they admitted that they have not conducted on this drug. And the point that you brought up now about making Plan B available without prescription and what about these young girls who get pregnant, Plan B has been available by prescription for several years now, and yet doctors are not prescribing it.
Well, because there's no time, right? I mean, to be fair, it only works in 72 hours. I mean, it's very hard to...
A girl can go for her regular gynae exam, and the doctor can give her a prescription for Plan B that she can either hold if she wants to or go have filled and keep in her medicine cabinet for the event of unplanned pregnancy, unplanned sex.
But you know how it happens. I mean, let's be fair. I mean, most women don't say, ooh, I think I may accidentally have a condom break in the future. What usually happens is they use contraception, and it doesn't work, and now they're nervous and scared, and they need emergency contraception. And without a prescription, they won't be able to get it. And I guess my question to you is, won't that increase the number of abortions, whereas it might just prevent an egg from ovulating, which I don't think you have any opposition to, and yet now it becomes a fertilized egg, which the pro-life community definitely considers to be a life. Won't it lead to more abortions then?
Mark, find me one country where Plan B or a morning after pill is available where the abortions have decreased. They have not. In fact, they have in many places increased. And it's also interesting that doctors are not prescribing the morning after pill. Only 14% of women say that their doctors have told them about this. And there's a reason for that, Mark. There's a reason that the American Association of College of Gynecologists and Obstetricians is wanting this to be legal over the counter. It's because they want to be bypassed because they know of all these studies that haven't been conducted. They don't want to have anything to do with malpractice suits in the future.
Well, why would that be any different from, say, prescribing birth control pills? I don't understand the difference.
They have oversight of birth control pills. They can monitor women, and that's another point. You know, the Plan B website itself says that women with diabetes, for instance, should be monitored while taking Plan B. That's a quote. But the CDC reports that 1.85 million women of reproductive age, of the age that we're talking about, have diabetes, and 500,000 of them don't know that they have diabetes. So that is just one disease that women don't know that they have when they would go and get Plan B over the counter without any doctor's intervention, never mind high blood pressure.
The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Let's go to Mary in Virginia. Mary, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. It's a fascinating program.
Thank you.
I get the feeling, listening to the nurse, that she feels that women are both, as she put it, too stupid to understand instructions on a medication label and too irresponsible to know their own health status and what they can do. She's also mentioning that something like Plan B doesn't stop the spread of a sexually transmitted disease. I think she picked chlamydia out of the bag to use as an example. And since women have the expectation of becoming parents when they have unprotected sex, it's funny that we live in a society where men don't have the same expectation and aren't held to the same standards. So,
thank you, Mary, for your call. Let me address it to Nurse Stanek. I mean, aren't you saying, in effect, that women, why can't they read the labels and understand if they're diabetic, don't use the drugs? Aren't you not trusting the patient here?
Mark, it's not me that came to that conclusion. It was the makers of Plan B, and the FDA commissioner chairman declared that their labeling was a failure. It is not me that says that women are stupid. Their own study says that one-third of the women did not understand the Plan B label.
We have to take another break. I'll be right back with Nurse Stanek. When we come back, I want to ask, you know, why can't women be expected to follow the labels? We all do it for all kinds of other drugs. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rob McConnell, and as the host of the X-Zone Radio Show, I know that miracles really do happen. The IISR is asking for your support to help spinal regeneration get into the clinical trial stages. Spinal regeneration research will not only help those with spinal cord injuries, but will also help those with neurological diseases. Give today and let those know who are suffering that you really do care and that you want to be part of this real medical miracle. Help support doctors, scientists, and researchers who have come so far and are so close to making this miracle happen, and all it needs is your support. Please give generously. To make your online donation or to find out more about spinal regeneration, information, please visit the International Institute for Spinal Regeneration at www.iisr.net. That's www.iisr.net. Or mail your donation to the IISR, 762 Upper James Street, Suite 266, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L9C3A2.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother, Justin.
Hello.
Hi.
Are here to share some stuff we've learned.
With kids, it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Nah, that's boring.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle, you want to go to a foreign film festival?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
Wow, that looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay.
See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
Making a big difference in the life of a child. To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Until next time.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking with Nurse Jill Stanek, who supports the recent decision of the Food and Drug Administration not to allow the emergency contraception pill Plan B to be sold over the counter without a prescription. Nurse Stanek, welcome back to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, thanks, Mark.
So before the break, here's my question. A lot of they tend to be conservatives, say we don't want government. It's not just conservatives, libertarians, all kinds of Americans say, we don't have government telling us what to do. We can read. You heard that from Marion, Virginia. I know that if I get some pills for whatever, penicillin, it says don't take if you're allergic to penicillin. I don't take those pills. Why can't we trust women to make these decisions?
First of all, Mark, the birth control pill, which is a much lower dose, is not available without a prescription. And they have been proven to cause significant or life-threatening conditions like blood clots, stroke, and heart attacks. Have you ever read the fine print on a birth control pill? And doctors do not let women take those without prescription. I also pointed out that it wasn't me that called women stupid. It was the FDA Advisory Committee chairman who declared the Plan B labeling a failure.
No, but let's say we get better labeling. I mean, let's say we have labels that very clearly say, you know, don't take if you're diabetic, don't take to try to prevent sexually transmitted diseases because it doesn't work for that. I have a feeling your issue is broader, of course, than just the labeling issue.
Right. I mean, there's certain drugs that aren't available. The heroin is not available because it's a public health risk. Cocaine is not available because it's a public health risk. And I think I've demonstrated through citing studies, not ideology, that Plan B is a public health risk by the studies that haven't been done on it, by the contraindications on it, by countries where it is legal, where not just chlamydia has risen, but gonorrhea has risen by 50% in the UK. Abortion has not declined.
See, I guess the overall question is this. When it gets to safety issues, I'm not a doctor, I don't claim to be, but the overwhelming, it seems, scientific community, and certainly not just Dr. Wood, but, you know, 28 members of the FDA and the American Medical Association, all of it, seems to think it's safe. Now, if you're against it because you're pro-life and you think it's killing, a living human being, I understand that. But I think some Americans are going to think, you know, Jill Stanek, who is such an active pro-life activist, is not as much concerned about the safety issues as she is about the pro-life issues, and that's why you're opposing the bill. How would you respond to that?
Well, I mean, if you're trying to somehow get me to admit that I have an ideology myself, I do.
Well, I know you do, and I think that's fine.
You know, I do, but what I've pointed out, you know, why would you want a medication that had no long-term effects have ever been studied? The effects on adolescents haven't been studied. The effects on race. Why would you want that medication made available to women and girls?
Well, the question is, to be used as emergency contraception, as
but,
it is. Why shouldn't women be given that opportunity?
If no studies have been conducted that demonstrate that it's safe, why would you want it available?
So I guess what you're really saying is that the scientific community isn't all ideologically based. I mean, that's
right. Well, I mean, ACOG didn't do a poll on its members when it decided that it would promote Plan B without prescription. It's not to say that all of ACOG thinks that. Yes, ACOG is ideologically based. Science is so skewed these days. You can't read any study without questioning who conducted the study, and this is part of that.
Let me ask you this.
Who didn't conduct these studies is the real question.
You don't oppose birth control pills, or do you? I mean, just trying to understand to compare.
My ideology says that if